Those of you who know me know that I rarely know exactly what God wants to do ahead of time. And as much as I know about what he wants to do this morning, as I know he wants us to begin reading this 37th Psalm. It's a very familiar psalm. It's not one that you've never read before. But we're just going to begin to read it and allow the Spirit of God to do what he wants to do in it.
Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Now, as we're reading this, let me draw your attention to this. Many people miss the truth of these Old Testament passages. Many miss the Psalms. Many miss what the Spirit of God is trying to say to us today, because we misunderstand who he's talking about when he says the wicked. And we think he means only that wicked individual, mortal flesh and blood person. He means not only that wicked, mortal flesh and blood person. Who is the wicked? Who is the wicked one? Who is the wicked host? Who is the host of darkness? Wickedness has its source in the devil and in the legions of darkness. And when the Bible talks about the wicked one, he is talking about the ultimate wicked one, the one that is working in that mortal flesh and blood person that is bringing difficulty against you. He says that the wicked, in verse 12, plotteth against the just. The wicked plotteth against the just. If you are a child of God, the devil hates you. He despises you. You are created and made in the image of God. Satan hates God with a hate that you can't even know. And because you're a member of God's family, he hates you too. And the closer you draw to the Lord, the more of his weapons he pull out against you. But praise God, who through Christ Jesus giveth us the victory. The wicked plotteth against the just. If you are a just man, if you're a righteous man, and you are just and you are righteous, if you're in Christ Jesus, Satan is plotting against you. That's what he's talking about. The wicked one plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him his teeth. Now, there are some of you who have come in here today believing God, loving God, wanting to serve him with all of your heart, But the wicked plots of the wicked one have come against you and are crowding out the promises of God. And the devil is gnashing his teeth upon some of you today, or have been in the past few weeks, as he gnashes his teeth upon you. You are looking at him gnashing his teeth upon you rather than looking at the promise of Almighty God, who is able to deliver and able to set you free and able to put the plans of the wicked one to naught. Now look at verse 13. If you're in that situation today, this verse of scripture ought to touch you. The Lord shall laugh at him. At who? The wicked one. The Lord shall laugh at him. Why? For he seeth that his day is coming. He seeth that his day is coming. Hallelujah. Make no mistake about it, the devil will not win. He will not win in the end. He will not win in your life. He will not win in your present circumstances. He will not win in denying you the blessing of God if you will stand fast in faith, if you'll fight the good fight of faith, if you will allow the power of God to operate in your life by standing firm. The Lord will laugh at him, and so should you. And me. Why? Because we know also that his day is coming, don't we? We know his day is coming. He's a loser. Verse 14, the wicked have drawn out the sword. They have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. You know, I was... This is about a year ago. I think maybe I shared this with some of you before, but I was driving along Central Church Road, that direction, and coming just under the power lines there, along at the top of Central Church, down towards Chapel Hill School. And I was just praying in the Spirit, just talking to the Lord. He was communing with me. And he said to me, "Son, you must hate the devil." And I thought, ooh, is that the Lord? He said, "You must hate the devil." And I thought, I don't think that's God, because God's love. He's all love. Why would he tell me to hate the devil? And I said, "Lord, I will have to see that in the Word before I buy that one." He showed me over in Romans, I believe it's the 12th chapter, where he said, "Abhor," or "hate that which is evil. Cleave, hold fast to that which is good." And I began to talk to him about that, and he told me what I've just shared with you. He said, "The devil has hated me from the beginning, and because you are mine, he hates you also." We are to cleave unto that which is good, unto God. Hate that which is evil, which is Satan. He seeks to slay such as be of an upright life. Their sword, verse 15, shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. They shall not be disappointed. They shall not be put to shame. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. God's people are not going to starve to death. God's people are not going to go down the tube. God's people are not going under. They're going over. That's the promise of God. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. They that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hands. God says to you this morning, no matter how you feel, no matter how your condition appears, no matter what it looks like, no matter what the devil has said to you, no matter how hard he gnashes his teeth against you, no matter what it looks like, feels like, seems like, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Why? For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, David said, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Nor his seed begging bread. Begging bread. Many of you know that I've been a businessman all my life, or most of my life, my adult life. And I learned about this thing right here. In 1976, when I was seeking the Lord with all of my heart, and I had just been born again in 75 in the fall, and I was seeking Him the early part of 76, especially, to be filled with His Spirit. And while I was doing so, my business was going to the devil. Every month, before I'd even get my balance sheet, at the end of the month, I knew that I'd lost thousands of dollars. I mean, if you're in business for a while, you get to figure those things out. You don't have to have somebody tell you. Every month, thousands of dollars, just losing money, just losing money. And we'd made money year after year after year, month after month after month, made money. Now we're losing money, just losing, just month after month after month. But in the month of August of 1977, it happened to be the month that this fellowship, this church, was founded. That was the month that I'd given myself to the Lord in a new way, in a way that I had never really done before, in a new dimension, I guess I would say. For almost 18 straight months, our business had lost money. But in the month of August of 1977, God restored unto our business every single dollar that was lost. Every single dollar that was lost. We made more profit in the month of August 1977 than we had ever made in a previous year before. And September was just as good, and October was just as good. Now, in that period of time, while that was going on, the devil would come to me and he would say, Vic, now you know you just can't go on like this. You're going to have to put more time in on your business. You're going to have to spend more time on it. You know how to make money. You can't sit here at your desk and read your Bible all day long. You can't be going to prayer meetings until 2 o'clock in the morning and then expect to operate in the morning, the next day. As the saying goes, you cannot hoot all night with the owls and then fly with the eagles in the morning. It just can't be done. And he would kind of tell me that. He'd say, you know how to, if you want your business to make money, get out there and do what you've been doing for 15 years. You know how to do it. And the Spirit of God would whisper to me, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Every time the devil would speak those words to me, the Holy Spirit was right there to just whisper that verse of Scripture to me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. During that period of time, so I know this works. I know what God's word, I know that what He says, He'll perform. I don't remember the month it was, but I had during that period of time when we were losing money every month, I had a $20,000 need. I had bills coming due in the amount of $20,000 that I had extended, and I had extended, and I'd extended. And it hurt me desperately because as a Christian businessman, I let folks know I'm a Christian. and operate my business on Christian principles. And a Christian pays his bills. A Christian pays his bills. A Christian is not a deadbeat. A Christian pays his bills. And it was embarrassing because the bills were coming due and I couldn't make the payment on them. And I sat down one day with the Lord and I had read Kenneth Copeland's book on prosperity, The Laws of Prosperity. That little book really helped me. It helped me to take God's promise, take him at his word concerning financial things. I sat down at my desk and I got the scripture that I needed and I got out the $20,000 worth of bills and I knew when they were due and I laid my hands on them and I said, Father, I believe for $20,000 to meet this need. I believe that I'll have it when I need it and I leave it in your hands to provide it for me in the name of Jesus. Now, Satan, you take your hands off my money. I rebuke you in Jesus' name and I command you to loose the money that needs to come to me. And I said, Father, send your ministering spirits forth right now to bring that money in. I took the bills and I put them in the desk. Now when the day came, it was a Friday, and I needed $20,000. Now, to some of you, $20,000 won't be much money, but to others of you, it's a lot of money. I mean, it all depends on your perspective. If you're buying a house, $20,000 is not much money. But if you're buying a loaf of bread, it's a whole lot, okay? So it depends on your situation. Now, when the Friday came, this would be a wonderful story if I told you that I had $20,000 that Friday, wouldn't it? That's not what happened. And when Friday morning came and the receipts came in that day, I didn't have the $20,000. And the bills were still due. But I want to tell you what I did have at about 3 o'clock that afternoon. I had a phone call from that supplier to whom I owed $20,000, wanting to know if it would be all right if they extended those invoices and set them up on an installment basis over the next 120 days, no interest. I said, yeah, that'd be fine. That'd be fine. That would sure help me a lot. And over the next 120 days, God supplied my $20,000. 500 here, 400 here, 1,500 here, 1,350 here, $1.50 here, $1,000 here, $1,000 there. And when those installments came due, every single one of them, there was enough to make it. And at the end of 120 days, the $20,000 was paid off. Now, on that morning, when the money did not come in, if I'd have got all disappointed in God, if I'd have got all uptight because he hadn't answered my prayer, if I'd have gotten all out of joint with the word of God because it had not worked in my life, do you want to know what would have happened at 3 o'clock? My telephone would have been silent. My telephone would have been silent. I tell you today, not only my own testimony, but on the word of God, verse 3, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Now, what does it mean to trust in the Lord? It means to commit a thing unto him and forget it. If you give a thing unto the Lord and then are worrying about it 24 hours a day until the thing comes to pass, you're not trusting in the Lord. You're not believing in God. You're believing in what you can see. If you need $20,000 by next Friday and you want to trust in the Lord, put it in his hands today and then forget it. Go on about serving God and let him worry about providing the $20,000. I want you to know he'll provide it. He'll get it for you. He'll provide it. If he's got to print it, he'll make it. Do you think that God can't make, do you think he can't make your financial needs? Do you think he can't bring that to pass? Do you think he can't meet your physical needs? What parent among you, having a child that was hungry, would not provide food? How many of you have starving children? I tell you, this is the fattest bunch of kids I've seen. There aren't any starving kids in this place. And those of you who are parents, who have had times in your life when it was difficult to feed your children, you didn't eat so the kids could eat. Is it right? Is it right? You would not eat yourself so that your children would be able to eat. How much more your heavenly Father would bankrupt all of heaven to give you a piece of bread if you were hungry? Or to give you a house to live in if you were without? Or to give you clothes for your back? Jesus said, "Take no thought for what you shall eat or what you shall wear, but seek ye the kingdom of God, and all of the rest of these things shall be added unto you." Financial pressures are one of the most wicked and dastardly things that Satan brings upon God's people. Take no thought for it, he said. Give it to him. That is his responsibility. It's not yours. You seek his kingdom. You seek his righteousness and let him take care of the rest. I don't know about you, but if my God cannot supply food for me and for my family, if he can't put clothes on my back, if he cannot supply a place for me to live, if he can't supply transportation, if he can't supply health in my body, then I'm going to find me another God. The Bible says that men worship gods of wood and stone and metal and gold, and they cannot see and they cannot hear and they cannot talk. This God does. And this one delivers on his promises. Trust in the Lord and let him bring it to pass. That's what he says. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Verse 5. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. 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 Now I can tell you, he shall bring it to pass. I have tried him. I have proven him. I have tested him. I have waited patiently upon him, and I have rested in him. And he shall bring it to pass. He knows when you need that money. Now, I'm trying to believe the Lord for $20,000 on a certain Friday. He knew I didn't need it on that certain Friday. If I needed it then, I'd have had it. But I didn't need it. I need it over the next 120 days, and that's when he provided it. And that's the way he'll meet your need too, if you will trust in him. Don't you know that God loves you? Don't you know that he took the best that he had, his only son, Jesus Christ, and he sacrificed him. He spent him. He offered freely and gave him for himself. No, he gave him for you. He gave him for me. He died that we might live. He was made poor that we might be rich. He was made sick that we might be in health. We're to reign in this life by Christ Jesus. We've got a beautiful and a wonderful inheritance. God wants us to know this morning that he freely gives. That's what he's speaking to us earlier in the service. He freely gives. Let us freely receive. Let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you for what you've done for us. We want to thank you that you are more than enough as you spoke to us today. We ask you, Father, to forgive us when we have limited you. Forgive us for those occasions, Father, when we have been unwilling to go into the promised land because we were afraid. Or when we've refused to go in because we saw the wicked gnashing his teeth upon us and we saw giants. Now, Father, we receive that forgiveness from you. For you said that if we confessed our sin, that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you this morning, Father, for endeavoring so diligently early in the service as we're praying. And here is the words been going forth. that you are always reaching out to us, always reaching out to us, always trying to meet our needs, always trying to show us how to receive from you, always trying to satisfy and to bless. We thank you, Father, that you provided for all of our needs in Christ Jesus, and that you continue to work with us and to teach us and to show us how to receive it. While we are babies, that you feed us with a spoon, that you mash it up real nice and fine so that it's easy for us to eat. But then as we become children, and then as we grow into older in the faith, and as we become maturing in the faith, you expect us to act like citizens of the kingdom of God. Did you expect us to receive as full-grown believers? I thank you, Father, that you'll not permit us to be continual infants with regard to faith. That you require that our faith grow, that it develop, that it be strong. And we thank you, Father, for what you're showing us about your promises and how you continue to exhort us and instruct us and encourage us to just reach out and take, reach out and receive. We bless you, Father, for your presence in our midst today, for the privilege of serving you and worshiping you and of studying you. We thank you, Father, for that which you've ministered to us today. In Jesus' blessed name.